text 12. Let's recite together.
Natvam evam chatuvasham natvam vivechanadika nachaivam ramishyama sarve vayam ataparam. Natvam evam chatuvasham natvam vivechanadika nachaivam ramishyama sarve vayam ataparam.
Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be.
So what is Krishna here talking about? Is he talking about
body?
So does body exist? Like you have this body, does it exist?
No. Yes. It exists, but once only
temporary. Body. So just this life, the body is going to degrade, right? It's going to degrade that much. So here Krishna is talking about the soul. So this Prabhupada says, you know, this particular verse, it's a very basic foundation. As we know, it's ABCD. So once we understand this one properly, like how, you know, because it's a, we are going to discuss, it's a logical evidence, or Prabhupada says it's a proof, what happens to the body. Right? So once you understand this concept clearly, then we can make a rapid progress on the spiritual path. Because these are all the very basic verses, all next three, so very basic verse. So, and that's why Prabhupada discusses in length actually a lot of main points. So, let's focus on that and
so, just paraphrasing what Krishna is telling here is, never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings. Means in the past, all of us existed. All of us, all the kings, you and I. Nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. In the future also, all of us are going to be existing like this. So, that means what?
So
emphasizing individuality.
Correct. So one is eternal. So he's emphasizing the eternality.
Eternality.
That we are always existing. The second point is?
Individuality. That you were like individual Arjuna earlier, maybe in different body in future. Right? Now you are there. Similarly, kings were also in different body. Now they are there. In future they are going to be. It's all separate. It's not like previously it's all one. You know, later on it's going to become one. Or not like that.
So
because these are the points of Mayavadi philosophy, and fortunately, unfortunately, we are coming across that very quickly now. So, two paragraphs in the purport, Prabhupada is going to focus about arguments from Mayavadi and how this verse defeats them. So, we are going to spend the time trying to understand that. So, these are some of the summary points of the verse.
So, the Mayavadi theory is where that the that is separate, right? Is that what they say?
No,
because I existed and so did you exist. So is that, are they focusing on separation or?
They say eventually we'll merge into Brahman. We'll lose our individuality. In future.
So Krishna is like us, is what they're saying.
Exactly.
That's what they're saying.
Yes.
So what they
Krishna
say
is not supreme, is what they're saying. There's somebody else who is supreme.
There is no form. They say it's same person.
The supreme doesn't have form, and that supreme is like a mass kind of thing. We are just part of it, and once we liberate, we go join that thing. And everything is one. If you consider anything two, it's Maya.
Okay.
Everything is one.
Mayavadi philosophy, the life after life isn't, that's not really the case. You don't go
to
the other.
No, so what they say, so you are impersonal at one point. So you came, you took birth as whatever this material body. So same thing it applies to say Krishna is also just like us. So he's just taking the form, like as human. And at some point, once you overcome that illusion that you are not a body, then you merge into that impersonal. You also become
one
God with
so
one.
So in
one
that
will.
State, there is no differentiation. It's not like you and I. It's all one. I cannot say I'm eating and I am different. You cannot have.
And what is the reason they say we came here as Mayavadi, you know, philosophy? Here, at least
how
we say
we
had envy with the God. That's why we came.
Yeah.
Right? And how do they explain why, you know?
Do we know or don't know?
You don't know. Because once you go in merge, you lost your individual.
That's why that's another argument. Like, if we were part of God, if we fell into illusion, that means illusion is greater than God. How is it possible? Right? So that's another argument to that, them actually. But we here, our philosophy says we are part of God, but we are quantitatively different. So we can be come under influence of the illusion. But still, Lord is... It's not that Lord broke himself into 1,000 pieces and he lost himself. It's not like... And that once everybody comes together, then only Lord will... It's not... He's still there, we are still there. That's the individuality.
Let's read this. Prabhupada discusses it in detail, so we'll understand more.
Yeah, hopefully we'll come at this.
Can be.
Purport in the Vedas, in the Katha Upanishad, as well as in the Svetasvatara Upanishad, it is said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the maintainer of innumerable living entities in terms of their different situations according to individual work and reaction of work. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is also, by His plenary portions, alive in the heart of every living entity. Only saintly persons who can see within and without the same Supreme Lord can actually attain to perfect and eternal peace.
So that is the paraphrase or translation of the verse which is quoted next. Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam Eko Bahunam Yovidadati Kaman Tam Atmastam Te Anupasyanti Dhiras Tesham Shanti Saswati Netaresam. Tathā Upanishad 2.2.13. So here the main point is, see, one may think, like Krishna said, you know, I, all the kings and Arjuna existed before, now and in future, right? So somebody may think everybody is equal. At this level, in this stage, you know, Krishna existed. In future also Krishna existed, I existed, so we are all equal. So to clarify that, Prabhupada is saying, you know, we are all eternal living entities, but still, Krishna is the supreme eternal. He is the maintainer of all the other living entities. So that's why this verse, Nityo Nityanam, is among all eternals, there is one supreme eternal. Chetanas Chetananam is among all conscious beings, there is one supremely conscious. And as Prabhupada paraphrased, who knows this person? And he is existing as in the heart of every living entity. And only saintly persons can see him. And those persons who can see him can attain perfect and eternal peace. So that's the meaning of this verse. Okay, then Prabhupada is going to elaborate further, why he is quoting this verse.
What is this within and without?
Who can see within and without means? As Paramatma within and outside, you know, it's all Krishna's energy.
See
what is, anybody knows Narasimhadev prayer? Ito Narasimha Parato Narasimha means what? Here and there. Bahir Narasimha, Hrudaye Narasimha, inside and outside. So outside is manifested in the form of energy or in the deity, like that. Inside it's Paramatma.
Basically, you see, once you really self-realize, you can see really Paramatma in your heart, like four-handed Vishnu form. And also you can realize that everything we see, it's an energy of Krishna. Right now we see, right, for example, this, we see it as a material wood. But Krishna is present in this, is in energy. So you can relate this also to Krishna or Vishnu. So that's what he's telling. The saintly person can see that. If you become self-realized, you can see. You can relate everything. Prabhupada always says, when he talks on the mic, he says, you know, if you don't use it people use it for so many things, right? The mic. So they think it's all material. It's made from material, the materials, right? What are material elements. Prabhupada says this is also Krishna's energy, because it's coming from, again, the earth, right? Everything, iron, whatever, it's processed, and everything is part of his separated energies. So basically you see the relationship. Whatever you see, you can see that relationship. So that's how outside also you can see Krishna, if you see that relationship.
And also all living entities are part of Krishna, right? Like if I see a soul, if I see somebody as a soul, means I know their connection with Krishna. Otherwise, I'm seeing them as matter and I want to exploit them.
So, we discussed Svajana, right?
Svajana.
Svajana, you remember? Svajana, we discussed.
First, introduction, right?
That's the one reason, right? Krishna, Arjuna got bewildered. Because he was thinking
my people,
his Bhishma, relatives, friend as his own relationship. He was thinking as his own. But if he had seen it a different vision, that everybody is a spirit soul connected to Krishna, then he wouldn't have bewildered. So, that's one.
The same basic truth given to Arjuna is given to all persons in the world who pose themselves as very learned but factually have but a poor fund of knowledge. The Lord says clearly that he himself, Arjuna, and all the kings who are assembled on the battlefield are eternally individual beings, and as the Lord is eternally the maintainer of the individual living entities, both in their conditioned and in their liberated situations. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the supreme individual person, and Arjuna, the Lord's eternal associate, and all the kings assembled there are individual eternal persons. It's not that they did not exist as individuals in the past, and it is not that they will not remain eternal persons. Their individuality existed in the past, and their individuality will continue in the future without interruption. Therefore, there is no cause for lamentation for anyone.
So, why Krishna is telling this verse to Arjuna? What is the context? Like, what he wants to drive home?
Don't lament for a body, of a metal body.
So, not only, okay, that is a different aspect, but with respect to spirit, by saying they are eternal, what is he saying? There is no need for lamentation. They are, you are not killing them. It's not that after this, if you kill them, they are lost. They are going to exist. So, there is no lamentation.
So, in this context, Prabhupada says, if you take somebody, right, for example, maybe 70-year-old person, and if you ask that person, no, you are going to get, 20-year-old, like youth body. So, we will not agree, right? Everybody will be eager to take that 20-year-old. So, here, same thing. So, Bhishma and Dronacharya, they are old. So, anyway, they are going to die. And they are going to get a youthful body. Mm. And Prabhupada says, they can go to heavenly planet or even to the spiritual planet, based on whatever the deeds they have done. So there is no lamentation. You don't have to lament for, because they are going to go anyway to the next body, youthful or whatever the body they are going to get based on the actions. So here, as we saw, right? So Prabhupada is emphasizing about individuality. So that's a very important philosophical point, because generally, it's right now, that's why Prabhupada also, you know, in this pranam mantra, it said, Prabhupada pranam mantra is Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. So we are paying obeisances. Next, second two lines is Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Disatarine. So Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. So it's all about Mayavad philosophy, because he wanted to defeat. So, I don't know.
Impersonalism and worldism.
Yeah, we don't have the translation in this one. We want to do it. So, he was.
Nirvishesha means no separation. Vishesha is differentiation. Nirvishesha means no differentiation. That means impersonalism. Right? Impersonalism means, okay, we are all same. No, there is no way I can differentiate this person versus that person. That means there is no special characteristics between both of us. That means impersonal, right? And Shunyavadi is this Buddhist philosophy where they say everything is void.
Buddhism.
We want to go back to void and all those things. So both of them primarily Prabhupada came to rule them out. Buddhism. So that's why in Pranam Mantra is emphasized.
It's that important.
And Paschatya Desha Tarini means he travelled to the west.
Western to preach. So that's about individuality. Next he goes to the...
So now, if you read this carefully, like there will be four arguments made from Mayavadi side, and the answers, how to counteract them, are given in line with the arguments. So we can note them carefully. Say, let's say for example, if somebody asks, like verse number 12, state Mayavadi arguments and how this verse refutes them. Then you should be able to understand and say that like that. So we will also see how Prabhupada defeats them. So we can understand them based on this verse. Okay. Vishwanath.
The Mayavadi theory that after liberation, the individual soul, separated by the covering of Maya or illusion, will merge into the impersonal Brahman and lose its individual existence is not supported herein by Lord Krishna.
So that's the first argument. So Mayavadi theory says that after liberation, individual soul, so in during conditioned state, individual soul is covered with Maya, and after it's liberated, that means it's got out of the Maya, it's going to merge into the impersonal Brahman and lose its existence. That is one of Mayavadi's theory. Okay, and the second theory is
nor is the theory that we only think of individuality in the conditioned state supported here.
This is the second one. This is actually Advaita Vad, where it is said that, you know, they accept God as a person, but they say in the liberated state we are all one. There is no differentiation. But in the conditioned state we are separate. If you are too confused about all this philosophy, it's okay. We are just clarifying it. It's basically the thing is, we should understand, appreciate why Prabhupada is taking the effort. Usually, you know, we are just trying to become devotees. You know, okay, somewhat we accept Krishna as supreme and, you know, just develop devotional service. So why I need to understand why these people are arguing and merging into Brahma? I'm not even attracted to these principles. But the thing is, we have inherently this nature of being impersonalist, of thinking, becoming one with Krishna. So we have, when Prabhupada was saying, you know, defeat Mayavadis, actually, we have the tendencies also. So by this we can understand, you know, discover ourselves, and also we can be sound in the philosophy, you know, what it is, like really, and also we can differentiate when we come across something, then we know, you know, what it is. So we don't just generally go by, you know, okay, I'll go to any temple, I'll go to any puja. It's not like that. You understand, you know, what is the purpose, why they are doing. Because there was one example, Radhanath Maharaj, he was, how many of you might have read this Journey Home book, right, his biography book. In that he essentially, at a very young age, he searched out in his life for a journey, for, you know, the call he has for the absolute truth. So in that he went everywhere and finally he got a call that, you know, this thing that he has to go to the east. So he started travelling to India. All those things. During that, and when he came to India, Vrindavan, he met one Babaji. But I don't know exact period of time, but he was with him for a long time. And he was so impressed by his devotion that he was so much in love with Lord Ram. Everything he does, he says about Ram, Ram, like that. Then he was like, oh, he is the ideal. This is how it should be. This is the goal of life, to have devotion to the Lord like this. But somehow, something happened one day. He asked him, okay, what is the goal? You are doing all these things. What is the... You are saying so much Ram, Ram, everything. So, like, what is the purpose? Then he told that person, I am doing all this so that one day I will become Ram. So then that's all. Finish. Maharaj understood all. Whatever he did is waste. So that's... Even though seemingly it's so-called devotional, the consciousness changes the whole thing. It's not at all pleasing to Krishna, actually. Even though you may do so many sacrifices, austerities, it's very, very offensive to Krishna. So it's not bhakti. So that's why we need to be very careful about, you know, what is our consciousness also when we hear from others. And because we are recommended not to hear Mayavadi philosophy, but when it's presented by devotees, that is a good way to hear that. Because, you know, they will present the proper perspective, not in a way to influence us, but to convey the other side. And also provide how we can defeat it.
Let's go to 15.7. I just want to...
When we call Mayavadis, we are calling to who? Like, whoever don't understand this story, they are Mayavadi or like...
Whoever has this philosophy that they will merge and become impersonal.
So basically you can understand by, so if you ask them what's the goal of life, if they say, as she said,
I want to become
Lord Ram.
Example I understood means to whom we are pointing.
Right? Yeah. People don't like that.
Maybe you didn't come across because you are living in this devotee.
Here also we have so many temples like that actually.
Oh, you have to be very careful. That's why you are in association, that's why you don't reach out to those people. Yeah. But it's said that 90% or 95% of like whole India, right? It's all groups like one of this. They believe in that, you know, they're going to become at some point the God.
By reading the same Bhagavad.
Yeah, they can twist. That's why they can twist the words. Because people, see, lot of people are innocent, right? They just, if you say saintly person, they really go and hear to the saintly person. So they don't really sit and read or discuss like us. So they just believe in a saintly person because they know if they don't follow the instruction of saintly people, they may get cursed, all those things. Right? It's all, you know, we have that intrinsic faith. But a lot of people, they misuse. So that's why Prabhupada, you know, the knowledge is essential. Without knowledge, you will be like blind follower. Yeah, the other point is, yeah. So let's see 15:7 because you are talking about... Yeah. 15 chapter 7 verse. So here Krishna says, the living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. So Krishna is making it clear that we are eternal fragmental part. So we are just in, as she said before, like, you know, quality we are same, that tattva, but in quantity we are fragments. That's why we discussed about the maintainer. He is the maintainer of all the living entities. So that's how it supported on each word. Achinta, Beda, Abeda, Tattva. That's the one we follow.
Krishna clearly
says herein that in the future also the individuality of the Lord and others, as it is confirmed in the Upanishads, will continue eternally. This statement of Krishna is authoritative because Krishna cannot be subject to illusion. If individuality were not a fact, then Krishna would not have stressed it so much.
In the future.
Even for the future.
So the argument for the first two things, or the defeat for the first two things, is what is the point? See, both of them, they say, when we get liberated, we lose our individuality, right? So what is the counter argument for that? In the verse, Krishna says that individuality exists in the future also. So why we should listen to Krishna? That's going to come later on. Krishna, we can say, you know, oh, Krishna is also an ordinary person, so what is authority in his statements? So that's going to come later on.
If individuality were not a fact, the Mayavadi may argue that the individuality spoken of by Krishna is not spiritual but material.
Okay, this is the third argument. So third argument is the individuality which Krishna is saying. So first is, okay, I accept Krishna is telling about some individuality. The third argument they are saying is this individuality is about, it's not spiritual but material. That means as long as I am in this world, I am separate. It's similar to that but something little bit different.
Even accepting the argument that the individuality is material, then how can one distinguish Krishna's individuality? Krishna affirms his individuality in the past and confirms his individuality in the future also. He has confirmed his individuality in many ways, and impersonal Brahman has been declared to be subordinate to him. Krishna has maintained spiritual individuality all along. He is accepted as an ordinary conditioned soul in individual consciousness, then his Bhagavad Gita has no value as authoritative scripture. A common man with all the four defects of human frailty is unable to teach that which is worth hearing. The Gita is above such literature. No mundane book compares with the Bhagavad Gita. When one accepts Krishna as an ordinary man, the Gita loses all importance.
Okay, that's the argument for this. So basically here Krishna, Prabhupada is establishing how Krishna is not an ordinary person. because, you know, his Gita is so prominent. So, if he's an ordinary person, why is Gita so any important in the first place? So, and also Krishna stressed his individuality, and his individuality is not material. That's what Prabhupada is trying to establish. So, that means the individuality spoken in this verse is spiritual, not material.
I'm not getting that. Let's try to go over that. See, because so if his individuality in the future also, he has confirmed his individuality in many ways, and impersonal Brahman has been declared to be so. Krishna has maintained the spiritual individuality all along. If he is accepted as a conditioned soul in individual consciousness, but see, that's what I'm saying. So he, what you could say then is that he is above that, but he says that when you are unconditioned, you could be merged with me, like that, right? So you see, I'm just continuing the argument.
Yeah.
I'm not saying where it's getting defeated.
So basically what Prabhupada is saying is, here Krishna says, never was a time I did not exist, nor you and all these kings.
Fine.
So what Prabhupada is telling is, the individuality spoken in all these three terms is same. You cannot change the great suddenly. You cannot say Krishna is talking about I as spiritual,
okay,
and others as material.
Oh.
Got
okay.
It?
Got it.
You use the same definition,
right,
apply to everyone.
Okay.
Then it works.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
So the Mayavadi. Yeah. The Mayavadi.
Okay,
argues,
this is the fourth one.
The Mayavadi argues that the plurality mentioned in this verse is conventional, and that it refers to the body. But previous to this verse, such a bodily conception is already condemned. After condemning the bodily conception of the living entity, how was it possible for Krishna to place a conventional proposition on the body again? Therefore, individuality is maintained on spiritual grounds and is thus confirmed by great acharyas like Sri Ramanuja and others.
Yeah.
It is clearly
okay, so the fourth one was, Mayavadi will say the plurality, that means how we are individual, that refers to body. Again, it's the same thing, but not refers to spirit. And then Prabhupada is saying, again, bodily conception is already condemned. So why is Krishna emphasizing bodily conception again? Because he already told in verse 2:11, right? Where he says that, you know, the wise people, they don't lament for living or dead. Right? So that means he's emphasizing the spiritual nature. So why would Krishna now, you know, give a big verse about matter? Okay. So the next section, next whole paragraph, Prabhupada is going to talk about who can understand Gita. So why Mayavadis are not able to understand Gita?
It is clearly mentioned in many places in the Gita that this spiritual individuality is understood by those who are devotees of the Lord. Those who are envious of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead have no bona fide access to the great literature. The non-devotee's approach to the teachings of the Gita is something like that of a bee licking on a bottle of honey. One cannot have a taste of honey unless one opens a bottle. Similarly, the mysticism of the Bhagavad Gita can be understood only by devotees, and no one else can taste it, as it is stated in the fourth chapter of the book. Nor can the Gita be touched by persons who envy the very existence of the Lord. Therefore, the Mayavadi explanation of the Gita is most misleading presentation of the whole truth. Lord Chaitanya has forbidden us to read commentations made by the Mayavadis, and warns that one who takes to such an understanding of the Mayavadi philosophy loses all power to understand the real mystery of the Gita. If individuality refers to the empirical universe, then there is no need of teachings by the Lord. The plurality of the individual soul and the Lord is an eternal fact, and it is confirmed by Vedas as above mentioned.
So maybe in this, if you summarize this, Prabhupada is telling that those who are envious of Krishna, and also especially Mayavadis, being envious of Krishna, they want to claim him to be know, without form, right? To, you know, completely make him formless, all those things. So then they don't have access to understand what the real message of Gita is. Because who can understand Gita? What are the qualifications to understand Gita?
Devotee
and disciplic succession. And the verse here Prabhupada is quoting, right? As stated in 4th chapter in Bhagavad Gita. So that verse is 4.3, which says, you know, why Krishna is revealing this knowledge to Arjuna. Why? Because Arjuna is his devotee and friend. So verse number says, that very ancient science of the relationship with the Supreme is today told by me to you, because you are my devotee as well as my friend and can therefore understand the transcendental mystery of this science. So here Krishna clearly clarifies that only devotees and who are favorably inclined towards Krishna, they can only understand devotional service and, you know, Bhagavad Gita in general. So because Mayavadis are outright envious, everything they hear, they twist it. They cannot understand. They don't want to accept. So that's why their commentary is also contaminated with the consciousness. So if we read it, so what is the commentary? Generally we acquire knowledge through hearing, right? When reading is also one form of hearing. So when we read such literature, we are hearing from them. Hearing is very, very, you know, dangerous. It could be dangerous as well as favorable. In devotional service, if we hear from proper authorities, we make progress. But same thing, we hear against the Lord, our bhakti will get spoiled. So that's why Prabhupada warned us, you know, not to, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, not to hear these commentations from Mayavadis, because it will spoil our bhakti. Even very, very advanced scholars are not recommended to hear them.
So why is
submissively.
Why is it emphasized so much on not listening to Mayavadis? So what's the main point here? Why it's emphasized so much? What happens if you listen to?
It's just your understanding of the Gita, and it's kind of you don't get the sense of Bhagavad Gita.
If it boils down to some, like maybe some quality, I'm looking for some kind of a quality. That's true. The faith will be shaken. That's true. But how do you, for example, we teach it? How do you serve, or what's the relationship between us and the Lord? What's the primary main?
Servant.
We are servants, eternal servants.
Right. So that's our relationship. That's our eternal relationship. So when we listen to any Mayavadi philosophy, as Prabhupada is emphasizing here, so we lose that, you know, element of servitorship.
Because they say we are God. So what? Why should I serve?
See, so as she mentioned already, so we have that, you know, false tendency to, you know, lord over the.
Already we have
that one.
If so somebody says you are God, we are like, oh, this is the right philosophy for me.
No, even if you just take, you know, our day-to-day things, right? Family. So you go back, family. So who is the master in the family? No, really, if you analyze, right? So if you go...
I thought nobody
said. No, if you analyze, right, when you go home, so you try to control your immediate family, right? So we already have that tendency to control things. So when we listen to even the Mayavadi philosophy, so we lose that, you know, it destroys that servitude attitude, right? We have that servitude, it destroys that quality. So then we become more puffed up. So that's why Prabhupada is emphasizing so much not to listen to. And I mentioned before, so how do we know? So for example, you go attend some, what do they say? The discourses.
Seminar.
Or seminar, whatever discourses. So even if you want to understand whether that's a bona fide or, you know, if it's just some Mayavad speaker. So what all, I think I already mentioned, what are the two or three points Prabhupada mentions?
So that is, if you said, to know if he is a real bona fide guru, you can ask him whether...
For example, you are going somewhere, like, you know, you are visiting Vrindavan. And Vrindavan, everywhere you go, there will be speakers. They will be giving big, Bhagavatam, Sapta and all. So if you want to understand whether you want, we can sit in the class or you don't want to sit in the class, what are the three things you can find out to make sure, you know, that's a proper place to listen?
Who are you? Who's God?
Not who are you? Who? Yeah, who is God?
Opposite God.
Then what is goal of life?
What is the goal of life?
Okay. What's the goal of life? And what happens after the liberation? So the three points. So if they say, who is God? So if they know, if they start, there is a nice story actually I will share. You know, so Srila Prabhupada was, you know, talking to one Chaturvedi, means like Pandita, one, you know, very mastered in all the Vedas, and Prabhupada knew that that person is just about just like a recitation. He can recite all the Vedas, mantras, everything. Prabhupada knew he doesn't have any knowledge, like, you know, devotion, proper devotion. So then Prabhupada, the first question Prabhupada asked him was, tell me, who is God? Then that person, you know, he started looking around, you know, like, you know, he knows so many things, but he was not able to answer. So he was just, you know, kind of going around the bush. He couldn't, you know, he didn't give the straight answer. He was just telling something or the, oh, like this. He was perplexed, basically. Then Prabhupada, what he did is, you know, he saw one kid. So Prabhupada, he showed one laddu to that kid. He called that kid to come. So that kid came running. Then he hid that laddu in the bag. Then he asked, tell me, who is God? Right? Prabhupada asked that small kid, who is God? Then that small kid said, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then he gave the laddu and he said, even the small kid knows who is God. So, because there are so many Chaturvedis who gives this Bhagavatam, Sapta, all these discourses. So we should not hear to all of them. Until you know they are very bona fide and they are giving the proper understanding of the Bhagavatam or, you know, philosophy.
We don't go anywhere, but question here is, if such a big session is happening, how can we go and ask someone these questions?
Yeah, you go ask him or you ask the disciples. Mm. Usually there will be people, right, organizers.
When they give you the look, like you ask any of them and say, who is God?
Yeah.
Excuse me, I want to say, I want to listen to this thing, but you cannot tell me who is God.
No, it's very important.
If you listen to the code, you only will know.
Even if you listen, maybe you will get something.
Yeah.
Don't listen, Vatsal.
Yeah, that's why when in doubt, don't. Because we already have so many resources. It's not that, you know, we don't have no number of discourses or lectures or so many. Bhagavatam itself, 18,000.
If I'm a true devotee and I believe in Krishna consciousness, why should I worry about listening to something else and being
affected? Yes.
Because we are discussing this,
you are coming to know the points.
Yeah.
Otherwise, generally, you see, that's why, as you said, we are all innocent actually, because we have that strong faith in God. But there are people who will mislead you without your knowledge. You think, yes, they are doing something related to the God. Then you say, oh, that's good, this is good, you know, everything is same like that. Because we are discussing and you are coming to know, now we can be differentiate easily. Yeah, and that's why Prabhupada said, you know, Prabhupada said temple, we say temple, right? So usually when you go to temple, there is no knowledge propagation, right? You generally go to temple, you just pay obeisances and they give you some prasadam or something and you put some dakshina and you walk out. But have you anybody, like, you know, any temples or anybody, they do the propagation of the knowledge? No, not many people, not many temples do.
What is the reason? Like, because I saw, like, many years,
most,
like, in India.
Yeah, most of the temples, it's the same.
It's this one, like,
Without knowledge, it just, it happens. This has become a regular, because we lost the culture. Basically, we lost the culture.
Because a lot of times, our way of life here is more, you know, go to work and do all of this stuff, you know. I mean, we do not have that Vedic scriptures, we don't read and all. So, who is going to.
So, there is also the, when Prabhu Harivastu was saying, he actually said this Baniya tendency that we have developed, which is, you know, go to temple, ask for something, and he gives Akshana and come back, like, and that's why temples are. Like, you come to temple and during Diwali, you kind of ask for stuff. That's why it's everything. Because you get wealth. Yeah. You know, everything has a consequence, right? If you do this, you get this other thing. So
it's so much diluted. The whole thing is so much diluted, actually. So as Prabhu said, you know, it's become like an order supplier. We go to temple, ask something, and then if I get that whatever I ask, then only I will give something in return. If I don't, it doesn't get fulfilled, you don't even go or you don't even give anything back. Basically, that's why knowledge propagation as kind of, you know, it's not happening. That's the main reason Prabhupada established the temples, that's why he did all this, right? Bhagavatam class, every day morning Bhagavatam class, evening Bhagavad Gita class. That's why Arivilas Prabhu sits in the... That's why every evening, right? Most of the evening he gives classes. Bhagavad Gita classes, he discusses. It's not that you just come to temple, see, but by listening, you get the proper understanding. So, one time, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, this is Prabhupada's guru. Right? So, he was taking the devotees on a pilgrimage in Vrindavan. So, everybody was, you know, there are all the disciples, people had come, so many people, so he was giving. Then in the temple, one temple, the you know, darshan blow, the conch shell they blow. So they blew and the people started running and they left the, many disciples also. They left the class, discourse, and they went to take darshan. Then Prabhupada was sitting there. Because Prabhupada, the main qualification Prabhupada had was to listen to attentively, hearing. That's what the comment he got from his guru. Because he listens nicely, one day you are going to propagate the message of Krishna consciousness. That's the comment he got. So everybody ran, most of the people. Then Prabhupada was sitting. Then he told, they are going to go and see the stone. They will not understand who really God is. Because they didn't hear properly the message. Like as we are discussing quality, forms, right? Without understanding the knowledge, without having the knowledge, if you go and see, and you think, yes, so that's maybe made from stone, because you have the blind faith, because you got that knowledge, saying, you know, the God like looks like this, it's carved in stones like that. So you'll see it as that stone Krishna is made of. So you'll never realize that he is Sachidananda Vigraha. So by only hearing, you get that knowledge, proper.
So in spiritual life, we see through ears, not through eyes.
Not through eyes. You cannot see through eyes. You have to always see through the ears. You understand, then you can see it properly.
So one nice incident is there with respect to, you know, argument between impersonalists and devotees. Somebody says soham. Soham in Sanskrit means I am him.
Or I am that.
That is impersonal. I am that.
I am that.
Right? So I am that means like I am that. Impersonalist, right? Okay, I am that. I am that God. And devotee comes and says da soham. He adds da. D-A in front of it, right?
No, so actually devotee comes, he says, don't chant that mantra. So Mayavadi gave this one mantra to this one person, saying, say soham, soham, soham. That means I am that, I am that, I am that. One day you will become that, like the Narayana or the...
Then the really that
Mayavadi is... Yeah, they say actually, you know, what do they say? Namo Narayana or something. When they see...
Teacher,
he also
says soham, right?
Yeah, yeah. So art of living is
Mayavadi.
Yeah,
he's impersonal. Yeah.
Yes. No, that's why you'll come to know many things. Art of living, the Ravi Shankar,
yeah.
Right? Ravi Shankar, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a big impersonalist. You will come to know many things once you understand. You will realize, yeah, there is a lot of things.
I hear one guy was calling his son Soham, Soham.
Yeah, there is one child. His name is also.
No, yeah. Soham is a name.
It's a name.
Maybe the name.
Okay,
you know,
let's continue the story.
Soham
means
sadness in Tamil.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Tamil.
Oh, in Sanskrit, it's I am that.
Yes,
I am that.
Soham means sad.
Okay.
Yeah, so then the devotee comes. One devotee comes and he sees this person chanting soham soham. Then he said, no, don't chant that. You are always eternal servant of the Lord. Why are you chanting soham? So he says, you add da soham
means
I am servant. I am servant. Then again this Mayavadi philosopher, he comes and he says,
add sa.
Why are you doing this? I told you not to chant like that. You are God, so you should chant. So again, I
sada soham.
Sada soham.
I'm always and he comes and says, da soham. Servant of the servant.
So that's like actually that the reality, you know. He says, I add da again. So Dasanudas, so that's our eternal, this is a funny thing, but that's what it is, that how you know.
Sadasoham.
Sadasoham, but anyway, you don't have to worry too much, but it's just, you know, you should be aware of, maybe even if you don't understand or, you know, you don't try to go deep into it and, you know, try to argue with people and all. That's not our this thing. If somebody comes and talks something, then you can always defend. But you don't go and start telling, you know, you are...
I thought it was not just a philosophy. There was also like all this yoga tradition and everything else.
Yeah.
People go there for benefits of the yoga and pranayama and those things. More than...
So Prabhupada says, if I can remember correctly, so the religion without philosophy, it becomes fanatism, right? And he says philosophy without really, if I can recall correctly, philosophy without religion.
Religion without knowledge is sentiment. Knowledge without religion is fanaticism.
Yeah. Anyway,
in introduction we discussed that, right?
I will try to.
Yeah, religion without knowledge is sentiment. Basically, they do, it becomes rituals, right? There is no knowledge, and I do, okay, what my mom did, what my mom did. So it becomes sentiment, like what we see from our parents. And knowledge without religion is mental speculation.
Yeah, philosophy without
philosophy,
religion.
You just have philosophy. But without practice of bhakti, then it's just mental speculation.
Mental
that means you just sit and, you know, think about, oh, this happens like that, that happens like this. But without practical application, then it becomes mental speculation.
Yeah, so we'll not go for any, you know, like what I meant is, we'll not argue with anybody. But this is for our protection. If somebody comes, somebody says something, so you should know, no, I should be a little bit, you know, protective about my... Otherwise, it gets diluted easily. You know, you just observe something. That's why hearing is very important. You hear something like that, then you start contemplating. Oh, maybe like that, maybe like this. So then you start acting. First thing is, you know, you hear, then you start your action. It comes automatically. It comes. So whatever you think, it automatically, senses starts acting. So you should be very careful. Yeah, the next one also is bigger.
Okay, now we are going into the crux of the philosophy, right? All these things. So Prabhupada.
So this verse, the text 13, it's a key memorization verse. So we have to memorize this, and it's going to come in the exam or test. Yeah, it's going. It's one of the. It's the main. If you want to...
Oh, in their exams, they have verses also, right?
Yeah, this one, which starts from here.
Oh.
You remember the verse?
Yes, you remember the verse, you write and you write the translation.
The translation also.
You can write
in Sanskrit.
Translation.
Even though
I will copy...
Chapter 2. No, once you are done.
So in 12, there is a reference to the four varieties of the common man.
Yeah.
This is what we discussed now.
Yeah.
Four Mayavadis.
Four Mayavadis?
No.
Four illusions.
No.
I should ask this question.
Tendency to cheat.
Four defects of
the condition. So basically, if Krishna is one of like us ordinary, then he has his four defects. Then how can he compile the Bhagavad Gita? How can it be authoritative? That's
okay.
What it's point to.
Okay.
Yeah, so the next week we'll start with text 13.